From last week, we started on the passive obedience of Christ. And last week, if you remember, we went through Christ's suffering on the final day of His suffering. That's the 24-hour day on His suffering. And we saw that in a nutshell, in one whole day, that Jesus didn't even, He didn't have any sleep at all, how He carried that cross because He came to do the will of the Father. And He came to rejoice. He was rejoicing in doing the will of the Father. And all that was written in the whole book of the Bible, in the Old Testament, is written about Jesus Christ. The volume of it, the book, was written about Him. And today we are going to continue. I told you that we are going to take that and go piece by piece. And we are going to expose that. Alright? So you're going to take a long time. And so we are going to take a piece today. That's the first one. If you remember how Christ had the Passover meal in John chapter 13. He finished the Passover. And after that, how He washed the disciples' feet. Remember that? John 13. And of course, we saw that after the washing the disciples, and there was a traitor that is within the camp. And of course, you know who the traitor was, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Him, and he was exposed. Then of course, John 14 and 15 and 16, we see that how Jesus comforted the disciples and gave some final comforts and warnings and instructions. Then John chapter 17, in the beginning, we see how Jesus, before going, taking the first steps, He prays to the Father. And verse 1 says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. This is the hour that has come for Him to go to the cross. The day has come as Christ, as the serpent in the wilderness, Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and just like that, Christ is going to be lifted up. And Christ, everybody who looks at Christ would be healed of sin. This is the hour that has come. Now, if you turn with me to John chapter 18, verse 1, this is where we are going to talk today. John 18, 1. After that long prayer of John chapter 17, John 18:1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went out with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden which He and His disciples entered. Now, this is the first step towards the cross. This is the first step towards the cross, where He and His disciples went over the brook Kidron. Now, that's what we are going to talk today. Brook Kidron. What is a brook? Everybody knows a brook is like a stream or a river. And here, I'm going to kind of expose a little bit, because this has a lot of significance. Brook Kidron has a lot of significance of His suffering. Okay, it's of His also the impurities of sin, and Christ's suffering and His death. Now, Brook Kidron is between the city of Jerusalem and Mount of Olives. In the middle, from Jerusalem, when you want to go to the Mount of Olives, you had to go through Brook Kidron. It's a Brook Kidron is in the high mountains, and it's a little brook that is going through, and this place is kind of very dark, and there was a lot of darkness here, and even the water, it has black soil, so even the water looks kind of black in color. And this was a common place where the Israelites they put their impurities, the dirt. It was like a sewer place where they came and put all the dirt and the impurities in Brook Kidron. And it is a place of darkness. It is a place of dirt. And if you turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 16. 2 Chronicles 29:16. Give you a little background here. When Hezekiah, this is Hezekiah the king, when he became the king, he wanted to clean the house of God. Because the house of God was in a big mess. There was idolatry, there was sin, and the first thing he did was to cleanse the house of God. And there was common dirt, there was idolatrous altars that were built in the temple. There was so much sin and pollution. So what he did was, now see in verse 16, then the priest went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. You see that? And he brought it out, all the debris that were found in the temple of the Lord, to the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it out and carried it to where? To Brook Kidron. That's where they put all the dirt, the pollution, and everything into Brook Kidron. And if you turn with me to chapter 30, verse 14. Chapter 30, 14 says, they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem. And they took away all the incense altars and cast them into where? Brook Kidron. So all the pollution, the idolatrous altars and everything that was in the temple, they cast it into Brook Kidron. So here we see Brook Kidron is a place of dirt, darkness, idolatry. Idolatrous things were buried. And it's a place where we see sin. And here we see Jesus, his mission was what? To bring salvation to the lost. His mission was to bring salvation to the lost. Even the elect were lost. We see that in Ephesians 2:3, even the elect were the children of the wrath. And we were all polluted with our worldly things, worldly sins. With the common sins of the world, we had all kinds of idolatry. And Jesus, he steps into Brook Kidron. He steps into this dirty water. He steps into this darkness. And this is his first step of suffering, going to the cross. This is a symbol of sin, that Jesus, the Holy Son of God, was stepping into the Brook Kidron, to the water of dirty, polluted sin. It's like the whole human race is like a stream of polluted water. How he stepped into that. And also, Brook Kidron was also, it was a cemetery. People were buried there. And it was called the cemetery of the common people. And if you go through that, you will see it was a cemetery, by the way. And if you turn with me to Second Kings chapter 23, Second Kings 23, verse 6. And it says here, 2 Kings 23:6, and he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the Brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burned it at the Brook Kidron and ground it to ashes and threw its ashes on where? On the graves of the common people. And you see, this was a cemetery also, where common people were buried there. And also, Brook Kidron is also called Brook Cedron. Okay, and we are going to look into that word later. Also, if you turn with me to Jeremiah 26:23, and they brought Urijah from Egypt and brought him to Jehoiakim, the king, who killed him with a sword and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. It's called the graves of the common people, where they were buried in where? Brook Kidron. Remember in John chapter 13 how Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Remember that? How he washed after the supper, Passover, he washed the feet of the disciples. Then that is John chapter 13, washing the disciples' feet. John chapter 18, they are stepping into this dirty water. He washed the disciples' feet so they can step into dirty water. Wash the disciples' feet not to live as a master, but disciples would become dirty for God. He washed his feet for their feet so that they would suffer for the kingdom of God. As the significance of this, we see he washed their feet so they will become like him. They would set an example what Jesus Christ is going to do, that he would suffer, and disciples are going to suffer with him. And whoever who believes in Jesus Christ, who will trust in Jesus Christ, we are also heirs of his suffering. Romans chapter 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. See that? Hey, we are going to suffer with him. These are all Christians. Every single Christian who is a true believer will suffer with Christ Jesus. Of course. And here we see his stepping into Brook Kidron is a symbol of his suffering. And so the disciples. Acts chapter 14 verse 22. Starting from verse 20. We see the apostles. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day to departed to Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, and they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, and 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, saying, We must through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. So if you are a true Christian, we will go through many tribulations to enter the kingdom of God. Here, it's the first step, stepping into the Brook Kidron. It's a way of suffering, Christian suffering, denying yourself and picking up the cross and following Jesus Christ. And what is your service in the kingdom of God today? Are you suffering for Christ? Are you suffering in his service? Or are you looking to suffer if only you get a paycheck and say, well, if I get money, then I will work. If somebody pays me, then I will work. Are you looking that way? Just like how the worldly things work? Or are you just excited to suffer for the kingdom of God, to serve him? It's a joy to serve him. And what is your service? In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, chapter 5, 40, 41 says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer. Now see verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called of the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Wow. Here they were beaten. When they were beaten up, they were rejoicing. Because you know why? They said it's worthy to suffer for Christ's name's sake. If you get beaten up today in doing the service of God, in the first thing people will do is they will cry. They will come weeping. Oh my gosh, I got hurt. I got beaten up because I was doing some service for the Lord. Please pray for me so I will be delivered from this persecution. That's now how the disciples saw. They saw, man, wasn't it great that I was beaten up? for Christ's namesake? It's worthy for His namesake. Jesus said, whoever who persecutes you, that you will be blessed. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And today, we are living in a world that we don't want any suffering at all. We want to get away. Even when we come to prayer meetings, the first thing we do is to, please deliver me from these problems, from these persecutions that I'm going through. Instead of just giving praise to God, how Apostle Paul and Silas, when they were beaten up and put in jail, they were singing psalms and hymns to God. And suddenly there was an earthquake. Of course, we know the story. They were excited, singing psalms and hymns to God. They were beaten up. They were excited. And Philippians chapter 1, 29. Turn with me to Philippians 1, 29. It has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So many of you believe in Christ, but you don't want to suffer. That's a problem there. You cannot just believe and not, you cannot say, well, I believe in Christ, but I don't want to go through the suffering. You cannot do that. You cannot, it all comes in one package. You believe and you suffer. You cannot divide and put away one and say, I just believe in Christ, but I don't want to suffer. But every Christian who trusts and believes in Christ will suffer for the kingdom of God. Also, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. Starting from verse 12. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. If you want to live a godly life, if you're asking God, God, help me. I want to live a godly life. I want to be like You. I want to follow You. I want to do Your will. Guess what? You'll be going through the Brook Kidron. You will suffer persecution. I tell you, isn't that great? Isn't that to be rejoicing? Isn't that to be wonderful? But today, we have lost the meaning. Christians don't suffer today. If you suffer, maybe there is some kind of sin in you. Maybe God has put a curse on you. Maybe God is not blessing you. Isn't that the doctrine we hear today? If you don't go through suffering, and if you are going through all the pleasures in this life, they will say, whoa, I'm so glad God is blessing me. They have put everything upside down today. That's not the Word says. The Word of God is to be honored, not what people say, what everybody else has said. Listen, we get caught up here many times. That's very true. Even within the church, we hear when somebody is going through suffering, the first thing we want to do is, well, what did you do this time? That's not it. That's not the way the New Testament church says. That's not the Word of God says. Everybody who loves Jesus will go through persecution. Now, if you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let's read from verse 23 to 30. The story here is David is fleeing from his son Absalom. Remember, David had a son Absalom. And Absalom came against David with his own kingdom, and Absalom wanted to kill his dad and take over the kingdom. Remember? And his own son. Now David is fleeing. David and his army are fleeing away from Absalom. Verse 23 says, and all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the Brook Kidron. And all the people cross over towards the way of the wilderness. Look, Brook Kidron is a place of suffering, is a place of mourning, is a place of crying. Verse 24, there was Zadok also and all the Levites with him bearing the ark of the covenant of God, and they set down the ark of God, and Abiathar went up until all the people had finished crossing over from the city. Then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark of God back into the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he will bring me back and show me both to it and his dwelling place. But if he says, I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do to me as seems to good to him. The king also said to Zadok the priest, are you not a seer? Return to the city in peace, and your two sons with you, Ahimaaz your son, and Jonathan the son of Abiathar. See, I will wait in the plains of the wilderness until word comes from you to inform me. Therefore, Zadok and Abiathar carry the ark of God back to Jerusalem, and they remain there. See verse 30. So David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and wept as he went up. His head covered and went barefoot, and all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up, weeping as they went up. David was weeping when he was going through Brook Kidron, and all David's army and David's everybody was weeping as they were going through Brook Kidron, because they were fleeing from his own son is coming against his dad. What kind of significance we see here? His own son is coming to kill him. And David and his army are there going through Brook Kidron, and they were coming to where? Mount of Olives. Remember, David is a type of King Jesus. And here we see around 10 to 12 o'clock midnight, Jesus, the son of David, with his disciples, are going through Brook Kidron, and they are going to enter to the Mount of Olives. Just like a picture, what happened in David, Jesus, here we see a beautiful picture of Jesus. David and his mighty army, now comes Jesus and his soldiers, the disciples. And in here, David was betrayed by his own son. Here we see Jesus was betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas, and the Jews. As the Bible says that he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Wow, what a beautiful picture here. What a beautiful typology we see here. David and his army mourning and crying, going through Brook Kidron to enter the Mount of Olives. And Jesus now, who is the son of David, who is the King Jesus, also with his disciples, are going through the valley of Brook Kidron. And Jesus was going to enter the Garden of Gethsemane, the Mount of Olives. Now I said the word Kidron, also sometimes the word says Cidron, which signifies darkness. And as we saw here, there is a very dark place. Even the water is dark, the soil is dark, because all the impurities that were put in there, there's so much dirt. And there's dead bodies, because it's a cemetery, as all the idolatry and sin was buried there. And of course we know that this world is a place of sin, darkness. This world is not a place of pleasure, but there's so much darkness in this world. And Jesus said in John chapter 3 verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Of course, we see that the world is the world loves darkness. There's a lot of pleasures of darkness, and people don't want to come to the light because their deeds of their evilness will be exposed. What does Jesus do? What is the Word of God does? It comes and exposes your hidden sins. All those dark sins will be exposed. James chapter 5, verse 5. Verse 1. Here, come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who moved your fields, which you kept back from fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in a day of slaughter. Many people are living in luxury. They have fattened their hearts with luxury. But the slaughter is going to come. James is going to say, you will be slaughtered. And I'll tell you, where is that going to be? The Brook Kidron. What do you see in this darkness? Cemetery. People who have died. Dead people's bodies, bones. That's where sin is. And if you are not in Christ Jesus, that's where most people will go to. They will go into utter darkness. Utter darkness. And Job chapter 21, verse 13. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to the grave. Wow. They spend their time in wealth. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment they go down to where? To the grave. Wow. Go down to the grave, to utter darkness. Brook Cedron is a place, signifies darkness. And many people today, they don't want to come from darkness to the glorious light of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, many want to have a little bit of Jesus just to say, put their feet there and to show, I am a Christian. So I'm a Christian, so I can come to church, I can please everybody in the church, and just to put their name there and say, I am a Christian. But in their hearts are darkened. Their hearts is fattened. It's ready for the slaughter, the heart. They are there because they are living in sin. Outwardly, they have a form of Christianity, but inwardly they are not right with God. They are away from God. They utter the words of God. They look like Christians. They act like Christians. They have everything. But I'll tell you, the word of God is not pleasing to them. The word of God, they come to hear the word because they have to do it. It's a religion for them. It's not something that they have a pleasure of hearing the word of God. It's not something they are excited to get persecuted in the word of God. It's not something that I really like the sermon today because it's really hit my heart and it showed all my sins, all my guiltiness, and how I need to follow before the God and ask for repentance. Not anything like that. That sermon, I don't like it. Because I hate to hear that kind of preaching. They don't like it. So, it's because Jesus said, because why? They love the darkness rather than the light. John chapter 12, verse 46. Jesus said, I have come as a light into the world that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. So if you truly believe in Jesus Christ, because He is the light and you abide in the light, how can you abide in darkness? 1 + 1 = 2. It doesn't make sense. There's no logic here. If you abide in darkness, if you abide means what? To live, right? To live. So if you are living in Christ, I'm not saying you come here and live in the church for 1 hour, then go home, then not living in Christ. I'm not saying you come to church. Many people, what they do is they come to church, and they hear the word, they come to church, and they live for Christ for 1 hour. They may hear a sermon for 1 hour, they may live for that 1 hour. But after that, they do their own thing for the rest of the hours. They are not living for Christ. Abiding means living. So you cannot abide in Christ and also abide in the darkness. Because I'll tell you, Brook Kidron, there was no light there. It is a place of darkness. It's a place of darkness. Remember, what did Jesus tell us? As Christians, you know, what did Jesus tell Apostle Paul to do in his mission? Turn with me to Acts chapter 26:18. To open their eyes in order to turn from what? Darkness to light. And from the power of Satan to God, and they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wow. This is a mission of the Christian, that we will go and witness to people who are in darkness, that we will go and talk to them about the wrath of God that is going to come, so that they will see the judgment of God is going to come, and then if they don't repent, that they will end up in hell, the lake of fire, so that they will be brought from the power of Satan, from darkness to the light of Christ. That means a change of life. Power of darkness to the light of Christ. There's a transformation. There's a transition here of what? A person's life. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. The new has begun. And we will see a person now suddenly, well, what happened to you? We can see a change in you. The way you talk, the way you behave, your attitude, your whole lifestyle is changed. And we can tell, give glory to God. It's not me. I don't have to go to school to learn all that stuff. My change of behavior is Christ Jesus, power of the Holy Spirit, brings the dead sinner to life. That's what bringing from darkness to light means. Colossians chapter 1:13. He has delivered us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Wow. The power of darkness. There's power in darkness. That means you're so much caught up in sin. It's an addiction. There's no way that you can get out of your sin on your own. It's a power that Satan has bonded. Satan has got you. He has chained you. You cannot get away on your own. And you can try and try. You cannot. Because it's a power. Enemy has power over you. And his demons have power over you. And you're chained into the kingdom of Satan. And you're a slave to him. You cannot get out. Unless you hear this word of God that is being preached today. And the word of God will make you alive and bring you from that power to the power of Jesus Christ. And deliver you from the power of darkness and liberate you from Satan to the freedom of Christ. Now you can worship Him. Wow. Hey, that's the greatest thing. That's why Christ had to go through Brook Kidron. Why? Because He had to suffer. As a symbol of suffering there. His first step we saw his first step was what? After the supper, he washed his disciples' feet and told them, now you follow me, what I do. And he stepped into that dirty water, a symbol of suffering, going through the brook Kidron, that he is going to get, that all, look how dirty this place is. People who had dead cemetery, and all the pollution, idolatrous thing, and everything was put in their buried there, and Christ steps into that, and Christ becomes the brook Kidron. Christ becomes the brook Kidron, that anybody who trusts in Christ, who believes in Christ, if you have repented, I'll tell you, your sins will not be put in brook Kidron anymore. Your sins will be imputed in Christ Jesus. Your sins will be not buried in brook Kidron. Your sins will be imputed to Christ Jesus, will be charged to him who has no sin. He became sin for us. And all your idolatrous things that you do. In the church, there was a reformation, Hezekiah's time. What was the reformation? They wanted to clean the house of God. That was the reformation. Clean the house of God. And how did they clean? They took all the impurities, everything, dirt, everything, idolatrous images, and everything. They buried in the brook Kidron. And I ask you, that today, if you hear this word, that your idolatrous, though your hidden idolatrous thing that you love to do, the pleasures of sin, that you can go and bury at the foot of Christ Jesus. And that you will be brought from the power of darkness to the light of Christ. Wow. Jesus, he stepped into Brook Kidron. So why? That he will go through the sufferings and the pain and the agony for your sins, if you are a believer, that we will be forgiven, that our hearts will be sanctified, cleansed before God. He will justify us, and he will see us through the blood of Christ, that what Christ has done. Amazing how Christ Jesus, the Holy One of God, the Son of God, the one and only true living God, who became flesh, and he is holy, has no sin at all, and he had to go through the brook Kidron. Wow, isn't that amazing? We will send a criminal to brook Kidron. We will send a bad person to brook Kidron, but not Christ, who is Almighty God, who is holy and majestic, going down to this deep place of darkness, going to a dirty place with his disciples. Wow. It was done for us. He became a slave. A slave is a worse place, because I'll tell you, he came to do the will of the Father. And how Jesus said, Father, the hour has come, so that he will be glorified. Now if you listen to this, and I encourage you, that you, as a Christian, that we have a lot of, it gives us hope as a Christian, that we will suffer for the kingdom of God. And those who workers of God, if you're a Christian, I'll tell you, do the work of God in joy, not murmuring, not as a burden you had to do this, but as a joy, rejoicing. And if you have been persecuted, count it for worthy for his name's sake. And those, if you are not a Christian, if you are listening, and you see how you have been under the bondage of the enemy, you're in darkness, you're living in sin, and what a time. If you hear these words, don't harden your heart. And today is the day of salvation, for you to repent before God and say, God, I am a sinner. I deserve your wrath, the punishment. I deserve it, because either all sinners, the wages of sin is death, and there's going to be punishment. But Christ took that punishment. And if you repent, what's going to happen is you will be delivered from the wrath of God, you will be delivered from the power of darkness to the light of Christ. Let's pray.
Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord,